Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you, I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. We're back! 1 week removed, guys. Today is Saturday, May 1st, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and I am thrilled to be back on here. I know it's only been a week, but love doing this. Love talking to you guys about this stuff. So I'm happy we're back and better than ever, hopefully. All right. So a couple things just to cover before we get into, obviously, our highs and lows for the week. I want to say, first and foremost, thank you for choosing the WWE podcast. Thank you for listening to this podcast specifically. Always really appreciate it. Love being able to do this with you guys and talk wrestling with you. So thank you. Number two, on Patreon, if you are subscribed to the WWE podcast on Patreon, you get some exclusive content, including all of the wrestling nostalgia shows. And I just recorded a show yesterday, the day before. Again, oh God, I'm getting old, I guess. About women and the women's division in WWE and how we are regressing back into the Divas division and it's not looking good. So I'm not going to talk about that anymore or else I'm just going to get depressed. And right now I'm in a pretty good mood. So we're going to try to keep that going and try to talk about this stuff with as much of a fun spirit as we possibly can. So yes, there's that. And then number three, Ashley Mann. I'm going to try to get her again on the podcast for Blood and Guts. She's actually going to the show for AEW's Blood and Guts, so we'll see. Hopefully we can still make it work, but I think that would be an awesome addition. It seems like I got a lot of awesome feedback, and she did as well from you guys about that show in particular, so hopefully we get to make that work. And that's all for the intro shenanigans. Let's just waste no more time and get right into it and jump into our low for the week. And I'm sure on Monday, while you guys were all watching this, you could probably guess I was going to pick it. Our low for the week is Asuka, Naomi, and Lana versus Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, and Shayna Baszler. Oh, let me take a deep breath before we get into this, because again, I said I was going to try to... I'm going to try to remain positive and light about this, but it is really depressing if you think about it. All right, so let's not waste any more time. What was wrong with this match? A lot was wrong with this match, but I want to point, we're going to pick two things in particular, because honestly, this wrestling is, this booking of this women's division in particular is beyond analysis at this point. I almost just feel like I have to sit back and laugh about it, because otherwise I just want to be depressed and not watch it. So first and foremost, guys, the infamous water bucket. Oh, the water bucket. Okay. Mandy Rose, and if you didn't watch this and you saved yourself from this, whatever, 15, 10 minutes of torture that this was, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke come out during the match and throw water at Shayna Baszler. And they don't even throw water at her. They just, you know, chuck the whole bucket at her, and you know, she sells it like, oh, I'm wet, this is annoying, whatever. And then comes Nia Jax running and boom, face plants. Obviously Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose laugh about it, and then we have Nia Jax flopping like a fish trying to get up, like something I used to watch in SpongeBob as a kid. So, I can't even take this seriously. So what was wrong with this? Well, everything. I get trying to be comedic. I get it. I think there's a time and a place for comedy in wrestling. I'm going to point you guys to the Chris Jericho, Inner Circle, MJF, Pinnacle feud going on in AEW right now. I can talk about it because that's actually not going to be my high for the week as much as I love that. Something even more that I love this week. So, but yes, yeah, so I'm going to point you to that, guys. This subtle comedy back and forth. Super subtle. Hilarious. Hilarious stuff. But it's subtle and they don't shove it in your face. And then they're able to maintain the intensity in the feud. So that's the template I guess I'm going based off. There's no feud here. There's just childlike things. Who is this for? If this is for the kids, okay. Again, I don't have any kids. If any of you have any kids, are your kids staying up in the third hour of Raw on a Monday night? If I did have a kid, I probably wouldn't let them watch this because it would probably dumb their intelligence down. No matter how old they are. This is really bad and really stupid and just a really, like, it is, you know, Vince McMahon apparently has a reputation of finding it funny to push people in pools and play just, like, cruel pranks on people. Chris Jericho mentioned he just, like, flattened his air mattress once. Like, stupid, not funny things, but he finds them funny. That's what this is, and you can clearly see it, and so that's about as far as I'm going into the water bucket, you know, charades, because, again, this is beyond analysis at this point, but I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention it as my low for the week. The wrestling in this match wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. I mean, it was, but it wasn't terrible. The major problem I had with this match... And I don't think this is a hot take. I've heard plenty of other people talk about this as well, is the finish of it. You have Rhea Ripley, the Raw Women's Champion, Rhea Ripley, hit her finishing maneuver, Riptide, which, again, I don't really even like that much, but it's called Riptide, and it's her finisher, so it's the big move, right? Again, your Raw Women's Champion hits her finishing maneuver. And do you know what she does next? She tags in Nia Jax to make the finish of the match. Like the Riptide wouldn't have been enough to put Lana away. Lana is someone who could be crushed by Rhea Ripley if she had both hands tied behind her back. Sorry, it's just the characterization of both women. It's just the case. You don't need, I'm watching this back as I'm talking to you guys because I'm forcing myself to watch this back as I talk to you guys because I'm trying to make sure I get all the details correct because I probably felt very brain dead as I watched this. I feel like they're really making an effort to put Nia Jax over. Your Raw f***ing Women's Champion should be the one that you're putting over, not Nia Jax. The one who does not have a defined character yet, is a heel, but is also a babyface, depending on the day. Not even tweener. She just switches from heel to babyface. No in between. I love Rhea Ripley. I really think she's got a lot of talent, but guess what? Rhea Ripley can take a good look at Shayna Baszler. Give her 6 months, that's exactly where she's going to be. Mandy Rose is going to be throwing a water bucket at her. And her poor tag team partner is going to be slipping and sliding. Not to mention, guys, Mandy Rose was the butt of the joke at WrestleMania, but they have to make it so Nia Jax is the butt of the joke. Just kind of screams John Laurinaitis to me. Anybody else? I'm done talking about it, guys. I'm done. I can't even rant about it today. I'm not even going there because we have such better things to talk about, and I'm going to get right into that because the SmackDown main event, Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. We're going to probably talk about this for most of the show because this was incredible, and it is undoubtedly your high for the week. Again, there was a bunch of other stuff that went on this week that was really great. You had, I said, on AEW, the parlay. You had that, you know, genius and genius and unexpected, I guess, booking with the Brian Cage Hangman Adam Page match. I thought MSK and Kushida versus Legado del Fantasma was really good too. I mean, of course, when you talk about those guys, you know it's going to be a great match. I really loved the Toni Storm match with, and I'm forgetting her name, Zeta Ramir, I think is how you pronounce it. Again, that shows you how great this was, because here I am on a Saturday still thinking about this match between this random rookie and Toni Storm. I just thought the booking was really good. If they do that every now and then, it's really not bad to have like a rookie like that go over or whatever. Like, I think about, and I know John Cena didn't win, but there was the John Cena Kurt Angle thing. Like, little things like that are really good for to shortly establish a new name on a women's roster like a Zeta Ramir. RK-Bro, guys. I f***ing love it. I'm sorry. It's my guilty pleasure now. I f***ing love it. Yeah, that was really great. I think Randy Orton plays his part perfectly, and so does Matt Riddle, and this is going to be ruined in a week, so let me enjoy it now. But let's reel it back in, talk about our high for the week. All right, why was this done so well? One, I am okay with a title match like this on SmackDown and not on a pay-per-view. If it's built like it was built, and this is how it was built, if you guys, I'm going to compare it to Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, maybe of by Christmas time, I think it was, or even better, compare it to like The Miz versus Bobby Lashley on Raw. This match, as hokey as those little prediction things were throughout the whole show, Seth Rollins was my favorite, by the way. And as weird as it still feels for me to have a major title shot on SmackDown rather than a pay-per-view, every now and then it's okay. So they made it feel like a big deal with those little intros, and it was made the week prior and then promoted up to this week. That's how you do it. You don't just hoy a championship match on a card for, you know, whatever, like Bobby Lashley and The Miz, or what. Like, you promote the match. I can't believe they did that Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre match with no promotion. Like, so that's the difference between a lot of these other, you know, hot-shotting championship matches. You know, the real money is in the TV deals, you know, like, so I get that. So, fine. But there was a story behind this. A good story, nonetheless. And there was promotion, and this was treated like it was what it was, a championship match on SmackDown, with huge implications. The one thing I didn't love is that, if you guys have heard in the news lately, going around, Daniel Bryan's been talking about how he's pretty much done, or he wants to be a part-timer, or whatever else. Fine. That kind of took away the any chance that I thought Daniel Bryan was actually going to win this. Again, there was a 0% chance, but still I'd like to have a little more hope. All right, and now to get into the actual match itself, right? Why was this so good? Roman Reigns' f***ing entrance. The camera, the music, the facials, his body, Paul Heyman, the title, all of it together felt like a real big deal. Awesome. The camera blur thing I thought was a little hokey at first. It worked for this. I don't think Daniel Bryan got it, but Roman Reigns for sure gets it. The psychology of the match that they've had before. It's not like we haven't seen this match before, but I'll watch these guys wrestle every week. And this was different, because there was the other stipulation on the line of if Daniel Bryan lost, he had to leave SmackDown. So essentially, if Daniel Bryan lost, his career was over, because if he goes to Raw, he's screwed, and you know Vince McMahon will never let him go to NXT. Love to see him go to other companies, honestly, but we're probably never going to see that anymore, at least. So, as I was saying, the psychology of this match, Daniel Bryan is a much smaller dude. Easy to see, right? the running right at Roman Reigns when the match starts, you know, and then the Roman Reigns essentially, like, Daniel Bryan gives all this momentum, Roman Reigns just knocks him down over and over and over again. That clothesline where he did the flippity-doo with it, that looked brutal. Love those, like, those little spots, and they weren't just there to be there. There was a story behind each move that they did. So I thought that was done really well. I know in my heart of heart, and I felt this way about the Big E Apollo Crews match too, actually, which I would have been praising, but the ending of it was so stupid that it wasn't. Sorry. Apollo Crews has no credibility. But again, as I was saying, I felt the same way that I did with the Apollo Crews match. I knew in a critical mindset, right, that the correct booking decision was to have Roman Reigns win and was to have Apollo Crews win. It would make no sense to give Daniel Bryan the title right now. I got that. I'm not even a huge Daniel Bryan fan. I can definitely appreciate how talented he is and all that stuff, but, you know, it's not 2014 anymore. Like, I'm not on that train like that. But I think he's an amazing performer. Don't get me wrong, and a great wrestler. So that's my mindset going into this. Because of the story that they told in this match, because Daniel Bryan is so brilliant, is such an incredible storyteller in the ring. I was watching a Shawn Michaels, I forget who it was, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle thing, one of those WWE Network Peacock things. And they were, and basically, I'm going to butcher the quote, but Shawn Michaels is talking about how, yes, the work we do is in the ring, but our real job here is to make people feel things and the emotion. So you can, you know, do one thing or another, but if there's no emotion behind it, it's not going to matter. Daniel Bryan, the story told up to this was actually pretty well done. Even if it wasn't there, Daniel Bryan made me feel for him throughout this match, to the point where I'm sitting here rooting for Daniel Bryan, really wanting him to win, when I know the right thing is to have Roman Reigns win, but I don't care anymore. I just want Daniel Bryan to win, because come on. Yeah, that feeling is so rare nowadays, especially because things can be predictable and whatever else. And, you know, it's hard to have a really good heel anymore and a good baby face. And WWE doesn't know how to book a baby face, so there's that too. Daniel Bryan got me to feel. And the way he did it was the moves he did, the desperation on his face, it wasn't hokey, like the comebacks. And every time he'd make a comeback, Roman Reigns would shut him back down. But it wasn't like an annoying beatdown. It was like an exciting match. The submissions, just seeing how technically talented Daniel Bryan is, you're like, he deserves this, man. He's a better wrestler than Roman Reigns. He deserves it. And I think we've all been in a situation, whether or not we're legitimately physically smaller than the other person, but where we are, quote-unquote, you know, maybe not as talented, maybe not as naturally gifted, whatever it is, than whoever we're with. I don't know what I'm trying to get at here. The idea that just because we're not as big as the other person, and again, you can be, you take that as a metaphorical thing too if you're 6'2" and listening to this podcast. But just because you aren't as big as the other person doesn't mean you don't stand a chance. I think we've all been in some kind of situation like that where we can relate with Daniel Bryan in here. And that's why he got my emotions invested into this match. Such a rare thing in WWE. And so, yeah, I'm grading on a curve 100%. But when this happens, I get fired up about it because I love it. This is how good this company can be if it allows itself to do so. Daniel Bryan's funny in a weird, dorky way, like he was last week with Cesaro. I think Daniel Bryan is one shining light in this darkness that is this company right now. The guillotine and the chokehold and the yes locks and all, it just was brilliantly done. Having me, you know, biting on every near fall, all this stuff. And they didn't go for 100 pins, too. And so I just ranted and raved about Daniel Bryan for like 10 minutes. Let me talk about Roman Reigns, because Roman damn fucking Reigns. This man, his facials are better than anybody else in wrestling right now, period. The way he looked at the referee when Daniel Bryan kicked out at two, it wasn't even worth, like, a time to do that. It wasn't a big enough move, in my opinion. But still, he was just like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, disgusted that this little runt of a man would try to be in the ring and continue to wrestle against him. His facials when he gets in the submission. Like, Roman Reigns is the best heel because he doesn't have to say a word for me to just hate the guy. He's just got that face. You know those people who just have those faces? God, I hate that guy. Those faces, love that. He is so incredible. And then, obviously, Roman Reigns uses his good arm to apply the guillotine after Daniel Bryan slowly starts to fight out. And again, here, I'm like, Daniel Bryan, oh, he might do it. Because once the ground and pound started, I was like, all right, this is it. We're done. But then he starts fighting out again. But obviously, as we all know, Roman Reigns got the guillotine, spoiler alert, and choked out Bryan and retains the title. And not only that now, right? I'm sure we could all kind of see Cesaro was going to come out for the guillotine, save the guillotine. Of course, we see Jey Uso come out of, you know, Narnia or something, wherever the hell he is, and super kicks Cesaro, ties him up in the ropes and chokes him out or whatever and makes him watch Roman Reigns do the concerto to Daniel Bryan. This part was hard to watch. And guess what that means? That means I was feeling something. God, for sake, just this company makes me actually feel something. God bless, man. Now, this story builds into the next story with Roman Reigns and Cesaro. I guarantee you this was Daniel Bryan's idea, this whole ending part, or at least he played a part in it, because I know he's huge on Cesaro. Just all in all, really awesome stuff, well put together. I have nothing bad to say, let me put it that way. There are definitely some places I could make a critique here or there. Not even worth it, this was so good, I don't even care. So that is what I have to say about the high for the week. Before we log off here, guys, I know we're a little shorter than usual, but I've been working all week and today, 24 hours of the day, essentially, I'll just put it like that. So we're a little shorter than usual this week, but nevertheless, at least we're back. I'm happy to be back on here with you guys. I'm going to give you a random match recommendation for the week, which is none other than No Way Out 2000, Triple H versus Cactus Jack in a Hell and a Cell match. While you're at it, go watch the match that they had previously. I think it was at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Unbelievable violence if you're just in that kind of mood, but like not the kind of violence. I don't know if you guys could hear that squeaking in the background, but that's not my sensor noise. That's the dog that I'm watching. All right. I'm not even going to cut that out. We're just going to keep rolling with it. Senseless violence, but not just for senseless violence sake. I'm thinking about Darby Allin, Matt Hardy. Now, this was like a real story being told. If you really want the ins and outs of it, if you have Peacock, God, I hate Peacock, but if you have Peacock, all right, Marlo, let's get out of here. If you have Peacock, go and watch the untold of it afterwards too. The way Triple H, I know he's got his faults for sure, but the way he breaks down the matches is actually really interesting. So you're getting a 2-for-1 this week. You're getting the Royal Rumble match between Cactus Jack and Triple H, and you're also getting the one at No Way Out. So go check that out, guys. No Way Out 2000, Royal Rumble 2000 as well, I assume. And that's all from me this week. Oh my God. All right. A dog begging for my attention, so I have to go take care of that. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will talk to you next time.